Thinking about this manifestation of the peace of God this morning, of course, that word peace is shalom. One person has defined it as nothing missing and nothing broken. But if you look up the word shalom, it also carries with it healing and strength and health and total well-being. So when the manifestation of the Spirit is to the degree that it was today, you can not only receive peace, you know, from pressure and all that, but you can receive healing and strength for your body. Amen? Amen. I think we ought to say it right now. I'm strong.
I'm strong.
I'm strong in the Lord.
I'm strong in the Lord.
And in the power of His might.
And power of His might.
Every organ
and
every tissue
of
my body functions in the
perfection
to which my God has created it to function. And in Jesus' name, I forbid any malfunction in my body in the name of Jesus. The Prince of Peace bore my sin, bore all disease, and I receive in Jesus' name. Amen? See, the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. Those that have called upon the name of the Lord could be classified as wise. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, right? He is our wisdom. The wisdom of God is on the inside of us. And so the tongue of the wise, those that have called upon the name of the Lord, those that have the wisdom of God living on the inside of them, the tongue of the wise is health. One translation says that the tongue of the wise brings healing. So what does that mean? That means that we can be a conduit, a flow of healing to people around us. A word in season can bring healing. Laying hands on someone who is sick can bring healing to them. Amen? But also, your tongue can bring healing to your body. It is part of the language of the redeemed. We have been redeemed. He said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Well, what are we redeemed from? We're redeemed from sin. We're redeemed from sickness. We're redeemed from poverty. We have been redeemed from sickness and disease. Therefore, a wise person will say that continuously. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. According to Deuteronomy 28 and verse 61, all sickness and all disease is a curse of the law. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, this diagnosis, this disease, this sickness, amen, has no dominion over me. For I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. I'm not trying to get redeemed, I've been redeemed. I'm not trying to get healed, I am healed. I'm not trying to be well, I am well. For the word of the Lord says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen? So, make your tongue do its duty. You know, your tongue can get lazy just like your body can. As a matter of fact, it's part of your body, right? Anybody ever tempted to be lazy spiritually? Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever experienced a little lethargy in their spiritual walk? Well, I'll raise both of my hands. It's a part of living in a body. But that's why Paul told the church of Corinth, I keep under my body. And I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, while I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway or should be disqualified. So it's important that we keep this under the control of the Holy Spirit and also in subjection to the word of the Lord. God did not give us a tongue to speak vulgarity. He did not give us a tongue to backbite. He did not give us a tongue to put others down, but He gave us a tongue so that we may speak supernaturally in other tongues and so that we may speak the word of the Lord over our lives, over our nation, over our friends. Amen? Amen. So speak the word and make your tongue do its duty. My tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. Amen. Some of you who do devotions and I forget what they call it when you log your stuff, you know.
Journal,
yeah. Some of you do a journal, you know, you've gotten up in the morning and you got something from the Lord. And I mean, it's just, you could hardly wait to write it down. See, you were ready to write because the Lord gave you something or some inspiration came to you. And you wrote it down and you were so, you could hardly wait to do it. Well, that's how our tongue should be. Our tongue should be as the pen of a ready writer, ready to speak the word, ready to declare what God said about us, ready to declare who we are and what we have and where we are in Christ Jesus. Oh, say it with me, my tongue is as the pen of a ready writer. I shall make my tongue do its duty every day. Amen. So some of the things that we learned last week is that prayer ought to be our first response and not our last resort. And oftentimes we make prayer too complex, complicated. And complexity of prayer means prayerlessness, okay? So simply prayer is communion with God. It is just having a conversation with Him. It's communion with Him. Just talk to Him. It's not about getting better at prayer. It's simply about getting closer to God. He said, draw nigh to me and I will draw nigh to you. We talked about how that we can connect with God relationally and how our view of God affects our approach to God. If we have a twisted view of God, it will affect your relationship with God. Therefore, it's important to know who you are in God, i.e. the righteousness of God in Christ, so that your prayers then can be effectual. For it is the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that will avail much and make tremendous power available. Amen? So the power is available, but our prayer activates it. Oh, glory to God. And so He is our very own Father. And we are His very own children. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's a good way to approach the Father in the name of Jesus, my Father. See, we're part of the family of God. It's the Father and His family. Amen? My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. See, sometimes what I do when I pray is I picture Calvary. I picture the blood that has been shed. I picture the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ hanging on the cross for me. I picture Him being buried, and I picture Him being raised from the dead. And out of my heart, I say, Father, I'm so thank you. I'm so thankful. I can call you Father by virtue of the blood of Jesus. And then oftentimes what I'll do, and you can do this as well, it's real easy, you can hallow the names of God. Now, for example, look over there in Hebrews 13, verse 15. And I believe this is the Amplified Version. It says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to our Father continually. That is, the fruit of our lips. There again, the tongue, right? The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Amen. Now, I like Psalm 23 because I look at it as one of the Psalms of the sheep. We are His sheep. He is our shepherd. Amen? So let's look at the 23rd Psalm and let's just break this down just a little bit this morning and look how that we can hallow the names of God in our prayer life, worship the Lord at the top of the morning, and give Him glory and give Him honor. Notice with me in verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. You are Jehovah Raha. You are the good shepherd. How many of you know that he knows his sheep by name?
Yes. Amen.
Amen. He's not a bad shepherd. He's a good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Number two, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That means this: Lord, you're my provider. The psalmist didn't say, he's my shepherd, he's not so good, and I'm full of want. No, thank God, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. That means this: he is Jehovah Jireh. That's kind of the Western word for the Lord, our provider. The Hebrew is Yireh. Everyone say Yireh. You can't say he didn't come to church and learn something, not learn anything. You are Jehovah Jireh. You are Jehovah Yireh. You are my provider. You provide for all my needs. You provide for my children. You provide for my church. You are our abundant compensation. Lord, you are my great reward. You are my shepherd. You are my provider. All the time, you're praising him continuously with the fruit of your lips. Amen? And then number three, we talked about it already. You are my peace. Jehovah Shalom. In verse 2, it says, he makes me to lie down. In what kind of pastures does he have for you? He's got some green pastures. He leads us beside the troubled waters. No, thank God, he leads us beside the still waters. Just raise up your hands and say,
You are
my peace. And then moving right down here to the fourth one, you are my healer. In the next verse, it says, he restores my soul. That's verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice this with me. He is the restorer not only of your soul, but he also can restore a broken body. I believe it's Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Don't quote me on it, but I believe it is. Jeremiah 30, 17, I believe, says, for I will restore health unto you. And not only that, but I will heal thee of thy wounds. That's nice, isn't it? Not only to be restored back to health, but then any wound, hallelujah, be healed up too. Say it with me. He restores health unto me, and he heals me of every wound. He is my Jehovah Rapha. And then in the same verse, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What does that mean? That means he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. He is my righteousness. He knows the right paths for me, and he's leading me down them. Can you praise God for that?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say it with me. He is my righteousness. And then notice with me, number 6 in verse 4. Verse 4. Read that with me. Yea. You could just praise him and say, Father, I thank you that you're my constant companion. You walk through with me through the difficulties of life. Therefore, I am not afraid. You never leave me without support. You're my helper, and I boldly say, I'm not afraid. Even though I'm walking through the valley, I'm going to the other side. Come on, somebody. That's Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. The Lord is there. Amen? And then, or the Lord is your defender, rather. He's your banner. And then the next one, in verse 5, he is my sanctifier. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint, say it with me, he anoints my head with oil and my cup. What's happening to your cup in life? Is your cup a quarter full? Is your cup half full? No, thank God, our cup's running over. Amen. He is our sanctifier. the anointing upon our lives from Jehovah Makedesh, our sanctifier, separates us from profane things, keeps us strong, and keeps us healthy for the glory of God. Amen? Now let's get to what I want to talk to you about this morning. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. You got your ears on, good buddies?
Yep.
All right. Whoo, glory to God. I'll have to do this in about 20, 25 minutes. Luke chapter 18. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not faint. Notice that particular attention to that, always to pray. Praying always is our little series here. Young's little translation says, and he spake also a simile to them, that it behooveth us always to pray and to not faint. I like that term, behooveth. We don't use that very often, do we? It would behoove you to get out of my face. It would behoove you to use a pitching wedge rather than your driver 20 yards from the green. The word behooveth means benefit. Amen? So God is saying to us today that it is of great benefit to pray. We ought to, and it does us good. Just like milk does a body good, prayer does a spirit good. Prayer does a church good. Prayer does a nation good. Amen. Now, in the Amplified, notice this. It says this. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray. Everyone say, praying always.
Praying always.
Notice what he says here. Ought always to pray and not to turn coward. This is a John Wayne verse. Don't turn yeller. Don't turn yeller. He said to this effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward. And then he defines what it means to turn coward, to faint, to lose heart, and to give up. Turning yellow is yielding to discouragement because things that you perhaps have been praying about haven't happened yet. I'm telling you, there are some things that need to be prayed about over and over and over again. Are you listening to me? So this is what happens when we stop praying. It's easy to shut down. It's easy to faint. It's easy to look up circumstances and say, I don't know what in the world's going on, but I just can't pray about that anymore. And I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us individually and corporately as a church, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't be weakened by the circumstances that you can see with your outward eyes, but be moved by the Spirit within, because there is much more I have for you and much more territory to take. Amen?
Amen.
You will always harvest what you plant. Prayer is planting seed, is it not? Thessalonians says it like this, that we are to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. That means do not discontinue to pray, but rather continue to pray. That word continue is found where the Word of God is concerned. Continue in my word. But Colossians also says, continue in prayer and abound in it with thanksgiving. Amen. Young says about this verse, continually pray ye. Now, obviously, we don't pray 24/7. I mean, part of the time we're sleeping, right? Part of the time we're eating. Part of the time we're working. Part of the time we're watching football. But prayer, and I believe what the Spirit of the Lord is directing us to, is this thought. Prayer is a way of life. Prayer is a lifestyle. And I believe that God is saying to us, church, don't stop praying. Your best days are ahead. He's saying to us individually, don't give up. Don't loosen your hold. Continue in prayer. Wigglesworth said this about pray without ceasing. He says, now I never pray 20 minutes at a time, but I never go 20 minutes without praying. And so we see this principle in the early church. We see it found in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. It says, where they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word, and fellowship, which is community, and in breaking of bread, which is fellowship, but they also continued in prayers, plural. They continued in prayers. In other words, they stayed with it. To be steadfast means to be loyal. It means to be faithful. It means to be devoted and dedicated and dependable and reliable. So as a church, we are to stay steadfast in prayer. When there is a need that arises, you can count on the church to pray. Can God count on us to pray? Can God count on you to pray? Are you in the number of the people in this church that would say to me, Pastor Mark, I have a desire for a greater dimension of prayer, for a greater spirit of prayer in my life? Yes. Yes. Ephesians says, praying at all times with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In the Spirit. There is supernatural ability to pray. And even though you're getting the cliff notes of this message today, how many of you are tracking with me? Because the greatest example of prayer that we'll ever see is Jesus. Jesus is our example. I can remember when I was younger in the Lord, there was, you know, this emphasis on, could you not pray for an hour? Could you not tarry for an hour? Well, it's good for tarry for an hour, but if you're watching your clock while you're praying, it's just a religious motion. I believe that we should have a lifestyle of prayer. And I know that there's people over in Korea that get up at 3 a.m. and pray, and that's great and that's wonderful, but I'm more of a 7 a.m. prayer. Some of you are more of a 7 p.m. prayer. Amen? So we're not to compare our prayer lives with others. The moral of this, the gist of the whole thing is we should pray and pray diligently. Now, look at Jesus, Matthew chapter 1, verse 30, or Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And in the morning, somebody said, well, I got the night shift. Well, that would be evening. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary or a secluded place. And what did he do there? This was before daylight. He went into a deserted place and he prayed. I love this phrase, he went out. What does this mean? He let some things or people, he left some things or people behind so he would not be distracted. And you've got to do that. We must do the same thing. We must lay aside the distractions. Sometimes we need to go out. I can remember during the holidays when my kids were here and the house was full, my place of going out was I'd go out to my car. I'd bring a cup of coffee and I'd go to Coyote Hills and I'd just start praying. In the presence of God and the power of God would fill that car. Wherever your place is, find it. Find a place where you can get quiet, where there's no distractions. Amen. Now I know this. If Jesus needed to pray, I need to pray. If Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. If we want to get the results he got, and we do, then we must do what he did. This is an example of how to live. I believe this, guys, we can pray and we can hear just like Jesus did. We can get direction just like Jesus did. But it's going to take time to pull apart. This phrase just comes to me. You better pull apart before you come apart. Did you know this? I believe this, that morning is God's opportune time. What do you mean? I believe it's his opportune time before your head kicks in. That's why it's important to live in a state of acknowledging him in all your ways. How many of you know we should not be making big decisions in life by analysis or by leaning up here? I heard Joyce Meyer say this the other day. We're contemplating going on a radio station here pretty soon. And I've been listening to the radio station to see what kind of coverage they get and so forth. But I heard her say this off the top of my head. We should not live off the top of our head. We should live out of our heart. Amen? God is not a head. God is a spirit. Amen? You are a spirit. And the way that he communicates with man is heart to heart or spirit to spirit. Amen? But it's real easy to just kind of wing it. Anybody ever winged it before? I might just be preaching to a holy congregation here. A holy convocation. No, we've all done it. We've all winged it. I've discovered this. Whenever I wing it, it usually costs something. So, in Luke chapter 6, let's keep tracking. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Luke, the 6th chapter, and we're doing really good today. In verse 12, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to what? And continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was what? When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, of whom also he named apostles." Why did Jesus need to get apart and to pray? Because he had some decisions to make. I believe another reason why he did it is he did not want to be distracted. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there is so much information that if you don't watch it, you'll never take time to commune with him. There'll always be something that will come up, literally come up, to distract. See, the enemy will try to hinder us. Paul was hindered. Paul said this. He says, "You know, I would have come to you sooner, but Satan hindered me." What Paul was saying, "I'm not clear yet to come." So Jesus was not yet clear on the choice of the 12, so he went and prayed. Say this with me, "I'll not quit until I get clear." Was it important that he got the 12 out of the 12 exactly right? Right? Was it important? This was big. So Jesus, during that time of prayer, he knew what and he knew who. The question I have is, why is it that so many don't know? They don't pray. Mighty quiet in this Presbyterian church. No condemnation, just encouraging you. Don't go through life winging it. It's not worth it. Get in tune with him. That's why I started out with praise and worship. Praise and worship get your spirit tuned up. It tunes your spirit up. Amen? We don't have to be oblivious. This is a big one. And guys, I've seen this, you know, throughout the years of my life and ministry. And someone asked me the other day, I went to some physical therapy the other day to kind of work on my hip and my knee, and I'm learning to stretch, and man, I feel good. I feel like James Brown. I'm not quite ready to do the moonwalk, but wait around a while. So anyway, the guy asked me, "How long have you been a pastor?" I said, 40 years. I think he thought I said four months. I said, 40 years. We've been pastoring 40 years, 36 years. But I've seen this over and over again, especially in the Word of Faith. People get so dogmatic about not seeing a doctor when they should see a doctor. And by the time they go see the doctor, they're already well advanced in a disease. Whereas if they saw the doctor and were led by the Spirit to do what the doctor said to do, they wouldn't be in the shape they're in today. Now, there's no condemnation because we all want to stand in faith, right? But folks, standing in faith and going to a doctor are not enemies to one another. Amen? God uses doctors. He is Jehovah Rapha. What we must do is we must make sure that our eyes are on Jehovah Rapha. And if he wants to use the channel of medical science, so be it. Amen. I've used it. I'm alive today because of Jehovah Rapha. I've used means before. I know several in the auditorium that have used means before. Procedures. Come on. So you're only going to get these things in prayer. You know, do I have this procedure or not? And not only that, listen very carefully. You may think you should go to that doctor, but he's not the doctor. Amen. Have you discovered that? There are some doctors that are that doctors, but then there are some doctors that are the doctor. Do I move? Or do I not move? One of the things you have to ask yourselves is, where you're moving, do they have a good church? Now, here's what John said. He said, you have an unction. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the abiding anointed. You have what it takes to hear and to be clear out here in here. Come on, somebody. Now, if you're taking notes, because we're running a little short on time, 1 John 2:20 says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You drop down to verse 27, it says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. When it talks about the anointing, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. And I exhort you to take time to look at John 14, 15, and 16. And you will see this about the Holy Spirit. We could say it this way. You will see this about the unction. You will see this about the anointing. First of all, the anointing teaches us. Do we know everything?
No.
We do not, but he will teach us. Secondly, the anointing guides us, helps us, shows us the right way, shows us things to come. Jesus said, but the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, the Father, if send him in my name, he'll teach you all things. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. And then closing, look at John 16 and verse 13. Mark Hankins said this about his dad. I love Brother Mark. I call him Ha Ha Hankins. Amen. A merry heart doeth good. Like a medicine, right? Amen. But Mark Hankins said this about his dad. I love this. He said, his dad used to say all the time, the Holy Spirit is a genius. And if you will listen to him, he'll make you look smart. Even though you may not be so smart, he'll give you what you need. He'll make you of a quick understanding. You and I have the mind of Christ. Isn't that good news? You've got a genius living on the inside of you. John 16, verse 13, Amplified Version, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, the life-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. He'll not speak of his own message on his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that he has been given to him, and he will, listen to this, number one, announce, number two, declare to you, the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Amen? Praise the Lord. So take time to pray. It's worth your time. Somebody says, well, I'm not a good prayer. Lose that attitude. You don't have to have a PhD to be a prayer. All your dots and your I's, they don't necessarily need to be. You just, out of a heart of love for God, pray. Let's stand up. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good word today?
Amen.
All right.